Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single week, give you our own unique angle on the world of sports. If you get tired of the same dumb kind of first take sports talk kind of shows, then you're probably going to enjoy what we do here. You know, we try to mix in some actual insights, maybe a little bit of common sense, possibly make fun of anything and basically everyone in the entire sports world. That's just kind of how we do things here. You don't have to be a sports geek to hang out here. And you know what? If you are a sports geek, well, you'll fit in fine here as well. If you have a friend that you would like to recommend the Daily Dose to, or maybe you got a coworker, maybe you got a family member, maybe you have an enemy, whatever it might be that you want to recommend the show to, we would appreciate you passing the show on. That's how we get more listeners, quite honestly. Number of different places they can go get the show. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast in a number of different places. You can go, of course, to iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play. We have our own channel on Audio Boom if you would like to head over there. Or you can head over to our website. That is dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And you can find a link to the show right there. While you are over at our website, you're going to want to make sure that you stop and check out a few of the articles that go up every single week. Always seems to be something new going on over at Daily Dose Sports. Put up a few more NBA previews. The NBA is coming quickly. The NBA is coming really, really quickly. We're going to have to, at some point, do a little bit of an NBA preview here on the show. Get to that. I don't know. We'll get to that eventually. The NBA season is so long, we don't have to do it right away, but we'll get to that eventually. But if you would like to stop by the website, check out a few of the previews that have gone up. I believe the Central Division went up today. Chicago Bulls, Milwaukee Bucks, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Indiana Pacers, Detroit Pistons. Might want to stop by the website and check that out and just see. Kind of give you some insight into each team is basically what we do. Give you a prediction where we think they're going to finish. Give you just a little bit of insight on each team. Got to make sure that you stop by the website. Also, be sure to check out our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Duff always doing a great job over there, getting some new podcasts, putting new content up, doing some new things over at Rogue Intel. You'll find podcasts over there. They're a little bit different than what we do. You'll find podcasts over there you will get addicted to and you will want to listen to each and every week. So be sure that you stop by rogueintel.com. Got a question? Got a comment? Need some advice about an array of different subjects? Could be a number of different things. You can hit us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Maybe it's just something real simple. Got a question? I got a couple of comments this week. Hey, here's an idea for a top five. Hey, great. I file that away and I keep that and I go back to those. Got something like that that you would like to recommend to us? You can find us on Twitter or Facebook at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, I'm not going to lie to you. I've got something special for you today on the Daily Dose. Of course, we're going to be talking some NFL. Few NFL stories we have to get to. Got some Major League Baseball playoffs that we've got to get to. Some big stories coming out in MLB. Down to four teams, just four teams getting tight in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Huge game tonight as I'm recording this. Very, very big game tonight as I'm recording this. Going to be talking a little bit about that. And you know, college football, the season is just a little over the halfway mark. And so we're going to have to do a little bit of a mid-season report. Take a look back at how things have gone so far. And of course, as we do every single week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I have big for you this week. Here at the Daily Dose, you know, we pride ourselves on being, you know, a little bit smarter, a little bit more informed than the average sports shows that are out there. So, with the United States presidential election coming very quickly, we reached out. Hey, we took a shot. We reached out to each candidate to see if they would have any interest in stopping by and speaking briefly with us here at the Daily Dose. And hey, I'm a little bit surprised. They were both generous enough to grant us just a couple of minutes. So joining us right now on the Daily Dose, joining us first is the Democratic Party nominee, former First Lady, former New York State Senator, and former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Thank you, Hillary, for coming by. Madam Secretary, I would like to thank you for joining us here on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. I know your time is obviously valuable, and we really do appreciate you joining us. I know that it was originally thought you would run away with this election considering your opposition. That hasn't exactly been the case. Do you feel like your campaign has been a little bit of a disappointment? Okay, let's be honest, a pathetic disappointment?
Well, first of all, I always thought this would be a competitive race, so I am happy to have a chance to get out and run my campaign as I see fit and let other candidates do exactly the same. I feel very good about where we are. We are signing up thousands of volunteers, people committed to caucus for us. We have a committed supporter in every one of the 1,600 precincts. And one of the things that I learned last time is it's organize, organize, organize. And you've got to get people committed, and then they will follow through, and then you bring more people. So I feel very good about where my campaign is.
It seems as if Donald Trump, who has no political experience, has been laying out his economic policies, that he has cuts for the upper as well as the middle class, and it seems like those are swaying a number of voters away from you. Do you have a plan to bring those voters, especially those middle class voters, back to your side?
I will be laying out my own economic policies. Again, everybody has to run his or her own campaign, and I'm going to be telling the American people what I propose and how I think it will work, and then we'll let voters make up their minds.
Yes, but in those policies, will there be any tax cuts for the middle class? That seems to be very important to the American voters right now.
I'm going to put out my policies, and I'll let other people speak to their policies, because I think we have to both grow the economy faster and fairer. So we have to do what will actually work in the short term, the medium term, and the long term. I will be making a speech about my economic proposals on Monday, and then I look forward to the debate about them.
Okay. Madam Secretary, multiple polls of American voters show that there seems to be a lack of trust in you personally, and that they would be more apt to believe, I don't know, someone like Bill Belichick than maybe you.
Well, I think when you are subjected to the kind of constant barrage of attacks that are largely fomented by and coming from the right, I can only tell you that I was elected twice in New York against the same kind of onslaught. I was confirmed and served as Secretary of State. And I think it's understandable that when questions are raised, people maybe are thinking about them and wondering about them. But I have every confidence that during the course of this campaign, people are going to know who will fight for them, who will be there when they need them. And that's the kind of person I am. And that's what I will do, not only in a campaign, but as president.
Okay, but what about the claims by many that you actually lie so much that your pants are literally on fire?
This has been a theme that has been used against me and my husband for many, many years. And at the end of the day, I think voters sort it all out. I have great confidence. I trust the American voter. So I trust the American voter 100%, because I think, you know, the American voter will weigh these kinds of accusations.
Well, but you do realize that the American voter is who is voting in that poll I just mentioned, right? I'm not sure even what that means. Madam Secretary, are you a fan of The Daily Dose? Have you heard the show before? And would you say that maybe you have learned anything from it?
Well, you know, let me say this, Chuck.
It's actually Clint. My name is Clint. How long would you say that you've been listening to the show?
3 months and a few days that we've been at this. I think I've learned a lot from listening.
So do you download the podcast yourself? Do you, you know, go find it on iTunes or somewhere like that? Do you go to like rogueintel.com and find it there? You know, you can even go to our Daily Dose website, which I've given before. It's super easy to find it.
I think it's also fair to say that, you know, there's some things about this that I just can't control. I can't control the technical aspects of it. I'm not by any means a technical expert. I relied on people.
Okay, well, it really isn't all that technical. I mean, you're downloading a podcast. You're not splitting an atom. Maybe if you weren't spending so much of your focus on your stupid email accounts, you could possibly figure it out.
You know, I wasn't that focused on my email account.
Okay. Well, I would like to thank you for stopping by The Daily Dose. I wish you luck going forward. You know, there's a little saying that my father taught me when I was a kid. He always told me, if you want to start being more honest with people, there's one surefire way to do it. Stop lying so much. Okay, whatever. Next up, we've got American businessman and Republican Party nominee Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, I would like to thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. We really appreciate it. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you.
You know, unlike so many of the other candidates that we have seen, you don't have a history necessarily in politics. What makes you think that you can possibly win this election in 2 weeks?
Look, everybody knows me. I've had an amazing life. I've built an amazing business. And actually, they said, oh, he'd never say what his business is worth. It's actually a much higher number than the number I gave. Jobs back from China. I'm going to take jobs back from Mexico. By the way, Mexico's the new China. Mexico is killing us. What are we doing? We're losing our base. Our GNP is, think of it, it's less than zero. That means we're getting smaller. And all these other countries are growing like weeds.
Okay, but I mean, you aren't a politician. You haven't had to do some of the jobs that go with being president of the United States. Do you worry at all that maybe people don't really take you seriously?
I'm going to make America great again. Politicians aren't going to do that. And everybody takes me very seriously.
Well, I mean, if you say so, I'm just not sure that you have the kind of personal experience that it actually does take to do a job like this. For instance, I run the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and here at the Daily Dose Studios, sometimes the walls aren't completely soundproof. We've worked on them, we've insulated them, we've layered the walls with, you know, acoustical sound foam, but still, sometimes you can hear outside noises. What kind of solution would you come up to help me, the small businessman, with my problem here?
I will build a better wall, and I'll build it for cheaper, and Mexico will pay.
I don't have any idea why Mexico would have to pay for anything. But I mean, I guess if you can do that, I will take the help, I suppose. Donald, I want your honest opinion. What is your opinion of me, Clint Daly, host of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast?
Well, I'm not so sure. Look, I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's really a terrific person. I love his stance. He's so different. He's very refreshing.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Have you enjoyed your experience today on the Daily Dose?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being with you. I love your show.
Well, thank you, Mr. Trump. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate your time. I wish you the best of luck on your big day, November 8th. Okay, dude, seriously, what is the deal? I don't know if you have a cocaine problem or what. Do you need to see a pulmonary specialist or something? What is with all the sniffing? I don't get it. I don't know exactly what. It literally makes me feel physically ill to hear you sniffing all the time. What is the problem? Do you have like a problem we don't know about? All right, whatever. You know what? We've got NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs coming, our mid-season college football report, plus, of course, the Daily Dose Top 5. Stick around. Do not go anywhere.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
What's up, guys? Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Me and Kenny sit down and talk about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. We also look at pop culture, review a few movies, share some personal stories, and just basically poke fun at the world around us. Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian. Join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
You know, couple of interesting interviews there. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, not sure which way you're leaning or what side you're going toward, but hopefully we were able to give you a little bit of an inside look at each of those candidates and maybe help your process as you try to choose a candidate that is best suited to what you are looking for here for the next presidency. A few things we've got to get to. Got a lot to still get to today. Of course, college football is about halfway through the season now. Watching the games, looking at a number of different schools, number of different teams. It certainly looks like Alabama could just be significantly better than anyone else. Not sure if anyone can beat them. Clemson on Saturday scrapes by North Carolina State. Clemson, and I told you this before, Clemson Tigers just remind me a lot of that 2014 Florida State team that we kept looking at and saying they should be better. They have so much talent. They have so much talent on paper, they should be better. I don't understand. And so we keep voting them high, but every week we're just kind of disappointed. And I still think at some point they might just lay that egg that knocks them out of it. So Alabama looks like the big dog. Clemson's right there. Ohio State got outplayed for most of the night on Saturday in Madison, but JT Barrett found a way to get a win over Wisconsin. Now, here's one thing I want you to keep in mind, and I probably don't have to tell you this, because listeners to the Daily Dose, a little bit smarter than the average sports fan, not exactly the knuckle draggers crushing the beer can on your head, but one thing that I always try to caution people on, don't compare scores. Well, Michigan beat Wisconsin 14-7. Ohio State, though, they allowed more points. They gave up 23 points. They won 30-23, but they gave up more points. So that means Michigan's defense, don't do all that. Like I said, I have smart listeners, so I probably don't have to tell you this. But just for the ones out there listening who don't know, comparing scores in similar opponents like that, it doesn't work. Each game is actually its own vacuum. There's its own weather. There's its own environment. There's, you know, certain players playing, certain players injured. Comparing scores gets you beat. Comparing scores wins casinos in Las Vegas enough money to build that huge, you know, topless pool area that they just put in up on the upper deck. Don't fall for that whole comparing scores thing. That's not how sports works. You can look at certain teams and say maybe they just match up better than others, but that whole comparing scores, it doesn't work, so don't get caught up into that. I want to take a look. If the college football playoff started right now, I mean right now, how would that look? If today was the day, we would have number one Alabama versus number four Clemson. We saw how that game went in the national championship last year. Pretty good game. A lot of scoring, a lot of up and down. And don't forget, Alabama was in a little bit of trouble in the second half of that game. They finally put together a couple back-to-back scores really, really quickly. But Clemson was right there. Clemson, in fact, had the lead. They were right in the thick of that until very, very late. You would have number one Alabama versus number four Clemson. Pretty good game. And on the other side, well, I know this probably can't ever happen, but you would have number two Ohio State versus number three Michigan. Can you even imagine if both of those teams actually get through to the college football playoff? Now, we know all of these teams still have some work to do. And never forget this. We talked about Alabama being, it looks at least, like they may be head and shoulders just above everyone else. And it always goes back to that front seven on their defense. They're so dominating up front. They just come out and just crush you. But don't forget, these are 18-year-olds. They can have an off week. They can stay out too late the night before. They can just come in and be unfocused one week. So it's still wide open. Now, Alabama has Texas A&M this week. That will be a significant test. There's your game to watch this week, Alabama versus Texas A&M. But Alabama still has to go to LSU. LSU starting to play pretty decent football. Got rid of Les Miles. Ed Orgeron takes over. Seems like he always does a pretty good job. They still have Auburn. They still have the SEC championship, probably against Tennessee, maybe against Florida. I know that's probably not a huge test. But again, Alabama still has a number of hurdles to get over. When we brought out our college football preview at the beginning of the year, the only reason I didn't pick Alabama wasn't that I didn't like their team, wasn't that I didn't think they were capable. I just looked at that schedule and said, that is a ton. That is a thick, deep schedule. You can't afford to have even 1 week off. If you do, oh, it's going to bite you. It's going to cost you pretty significantly if you do have that 1 week off. And so based on that, and that alone was the only reason that I didn't take, you know, Alabama at the beginning of the year. Now, Ohio State sitting at number two. Ohio State still has Nebraska and they still have Michigan. Neither one of those is a gimme either. I think Nebraska's probably a little bit overrated. I told you I like them a little bit, but they might be just a little bit overrated because they keep sneaking through and not really playing anyone just yet. And then, of course, Ohio State still has Michigan. Michigan still has, well, they have Ohio State, and that's basically it. The schedule really fell right this year for Michigan. That is why they are kind of skating through. They play Wisconsin. They play Ohio State. I don't know. Indiana. They just don't really play anyone. So Michigan, of all three of those top four teams right now, the Michigan Wolverines probably have the easiest schedule. Clemson still has Florida State next week. And then they will also have the ACC championship. I would imagine that's, what, North Carolina? Maybe Pitt? Someone like that. So there are still a few games that are left for those top four teams. Don't think that all those top four teams are going to skate all the way through. I guarantee we know Ohio State and Michigan are going to meet. One of them is going to get knocked out. Depending on what kind of game that is, you would think it might eliminate one of them from contention. Okay, so we are halfway right now. But at the halfway point, what are the big surprises? I think one of the big surprises that stands out for me is how many of the top-rated teams have not just fallen, but have fallen hard. Really, really dropped. You know, the Oklahomas, the Notre Dames, the Florida States. So many of these teams that we looked at as we came into the season and said, they are loaded. They should have everything going. Stanford. Stanford has now dropped. UCLA, they're falling way behind. There's just a number of teams that we looked at and said, well, on paper, going into the season, remember what we talked about at the beginning of the season? We look at this and we base it basically on nothing. I base it a little bit on what you did last year and a little bit on maybe a couple of the players, but we have no idea. There's no way to have a preseason rating that means anything whatsoever. Hey, Alabama's going to be pretty good. Yeah, I kind of knew that. Hey, Clemson should be pretty good. Okay. But I mean, Ohio State, they came from nowhere. They lost a lot of people. Michigan, we'll still see. They haven't quite been tested yet. So I think those are the things that stand out to me the most as we reach the halfway point. Best game so far. So far at the halfway point, what's the best game that you've seen? Best game I've seen, Clemson over Louisville, 42-36. Big plays, excitement, Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson, a ton of offense going up and down the field. And yet, when it came down to it, the game was decided on the defense. The Clemson defense had to get a stop eventually on Louisville, and that's what won them the game. For all of the offense we saw that night, best game came down to who could get a stop at the end. The best finish of the game. I know we talked about this on the show. That finish, Tennessee over Georgia in week five, when Tennessee came back and won 34-31. First, you had the bomb that Georgia threw to get the lead very, very late. How that wide receiver gets behind the Tennessee defense, I will never know. It wasn't like it was a Hail Mary. It was just a deep throw, and the safety got sucked up. But then the Tennessee Hail Mary somehow come back, just Georgia doing Georgia things like Georgia always seems to do. That was the great finish. I don't know if that was a great game, but that was a very, very entertaining finish. Disappointment of the year. So far, who would be your disappointment of the year? Number of teams you could choose from. Obviously Oklahoma, maybe a Notre Dame, maybe Stanford. My disappointment of the year probably goes to Florida State. Returned all of that defense. We looked at that defense and said, hey, they may have one of those kind of defenses that just dominates the entire season, that just crushes opponents. They might have that kind of defense. It hasn't really worked out that way. In fact, the defense has really, really struggled. They've got Dalvin Cook. They've got one of the best running backs in the nation. Yeah, he's been okay. I wouldn't say he's hurt himself. Well, he hasn't been great. And Florida State already lost twice, still got big games coming. Florida State, to me, I had them ranked pretty high. I thought they could really, really contend, possibly even for a national title, for sure in the ACC. Disappointment for me has got to be Florida State. Who is the coach of the year right now? Again, we're only halfway through. All this stuff is going to change by the end of the season, most likely. Coach of the year for me, Got to go Ohio State, Urban Meyer. Do you realize that Ohio State lost 12 players to the NFL draft? 12 players. Not 12 players, a couple guys graduated, and this underclassman left, or he got hurt. No, they lost 12 players just to the NFL draft. And look where they're at. They're right back in it. For all these coaches that are out there recruiting, I don't know if anybody's doing it any better than Urban Meyer. Might be doing it as good. I'll put Nick Saban in that conversation. Doing it as good. I don't know if anyone is doing it better year in, year out than Urban Meyer. Amazing job that he's done at Ohio State. It was just a few years ago. We were talking about the Big Ten too slow. Ohio State too slow. Remember, they couldn't hang with Florida. They couldn't hang with LSU. Urban Meyer has completely changed the way we look at the Big Ten, the way we look at Ohio State. Totally flipped it. He's my Coach of the Year candidate right now. Take a look at the Heisman. The Heisman Award. And the Heisman really is the only award in, I don't know, pretty much all of sports that we really actually pay attention to. And it's funny because we pay attention to it at the beginning of the year, and then after that we kind of go, eh. When they announce the winner, how many of you actually watch the Heisman Awards ceremony? I couldn't tell you the last time I watched it. I'm sure I have. Nobody watches it. But take a look at the Heisman, because remember all the candidates we had going into the season. LSU running back Leonard Fournette. He's out. He's hurt. LSU's not doing very good. He hasn't done that much. Stanford running back, wide receiver, whatever you want to call him, hybrid, Christian McCaffrey. He's out. He's been banged up. Stanford isn't doing anything. I thought McCaffrey deserved it last year. I would have voted for him for the Heisman last year. This year, hasn't done it. We just talked about Florida State running back Dalvin Cook. He's probably out. Might be on the very, very edge if they made a late run and he really put up some huge numbers, but Dalvin Cook is probably out. UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen is out. Been hurt, hasn't had a lot of help, hasn't had a real huge statistic season. Josh Rosen's out. Oregon running back Royce Freeman is out. He hasn't really done too much. Georgia running back Nick Chubb is out. We talked about Nick Chubb, the job he would do coming back. Georgia is not looking good right now. Kirby Smart down at Georgia is getting himself in some really, really hot water, and Nick Chubb has not done anything down there. Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield, yeah, he's probably out. Not going to do anything there. Too many losses. Been inconsistent. Here is the problem with the Heisman Trophy, and the Heisman is such a strange award. Like I said, we care about it more prior to the season than we do when it's even announced. The Heisman's a really, really weird, has its own just separate dynamic than anything else. But one of the things that you can't do with the Heisman is the voters kind of want to be surprised. All those guys I just talked about, they can't come back and surprise you. We've already seen probably their best. We saw greatness last year out of Leonard Fournette at times. We saw greatness out of Christian McCaffrey, Baker Mayfield, Dalvin Cook. We saw them play. What are they going to do this year? Yeah. They did okay. It's really, really hard to approve. Christian McCaffrey last year set the record for most total yardage in a season. What's he going to do this year? Anything he could possibly do is probably going to be a step backward. You really think he's going to beat his own record? I've got news for you. That's not going to happen. It's hard to improve, and it's hard to impress those Heisman voters that say, we've seen pretty much everything. What else do you got? Think you can one-up yourself? No, it doesn't work that way. So right now, in the Heisman voting, I would say that Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson, still probably the favorite. I know they lost to Clemson, but Lamar Jackson is just electric. I think he kind of has that Heisman buzz around him that some of the voters do look at and say, hey, Lamar Jackson is surprising us. He's so explosive. He's so dangerous on every single play. Lamar Jackson, yeah, he's kind of surprising us. He's kind of improving what we saw from him last year. Not hard. He didn't have a huge year last year. So I think Lamar Jackson is the favorite. Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson, he's right there in it. Again, that's probably the best quarterback on the best team up top that we can vote for. So Deshaun Watson is right there. Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett, another guy. Best team, best quarterback. Yeah, we'll take him. JT Barrett could be there. I'm going to throw out one other name, and I don't think he's going to get any votes. But Washington quarterback Jake Browning, he's doing some good things. He's doing some really good things for the Huskies. Keep an eye on Jake Browning, and let's see if he makes any kind of a run as we go down the stretch. Washington is absolutely in the driver's seat in the Pac-12. They've got an outside chance at getting themselves into a playoff position. Jake Browning is going to have a very, very big key in doing that. Michigan defensive player Jabril Peppers, Got to look at Peppers, been explosive. We've seen, obviously, someone like Charles Woodson win it on the defensive side for Michigan in the past. And the fact that Peppers can do a lot of different things helps him a little bit. Again, can you surprise the voters? Can you improve from what you did a year ago? That's what really gets those voters excited. It's a long ways to go. We still have a ton of football left to be played. But remember, last year at this time, we were talking about LSU running back Leonard Fournette. He had it wrapped up. He had it wrapped up. It wasn't even close. Fournette's going to win the Heisman, and then, I don't know, we'll see who gets second. Yeah. Remember some of the other candidates that have been in that same situation. The Peyton Mannings and the guys like that, that come mid-season, looked like they had it wrapped up. By the end of the year, maybe they got a few votes. Maybe they get invited to the ceremony, but they weren't going to win it. Keep an eye on the Heisman this year. I'm going to hand out a couple awards. Just a couple. Because as we get down to the end of the season, we'll hand out the bulk of our awards. But I would like to hand out a couple of mid-season awards in college football right now. The Always a Bridesmaid Award, I'm going to give to LSU interim coach Ed Orgeron. You know, Ed Orgeron, he was the head coach down at Ole Miss for a little while. But it seems like he's always the defensive coordinator and assistant head coach kind of thing. And then wherever he's at, remember he was at Southern Cal, now he's at LSU. And they end up firing the head coach and they say, well, let's put Ed Orgeron in as the interim coach. But we're not going to hire him as the head coach. What are you, crazy? We'll go get a big name for the head coach. We're not going to give it to Ed Orgeron. Have you heard him talk?
Well, we're just down here trying to do the best we can with the LSU Tigers, trying to see if we can't get a win. I know when I was at Ole Miss, we had Brett Schaefer, and he would put a good quarterback. I think he can do here the same thing here at LSU.
I mean, Ed Orgeron, I hate to say, totally gets biased against because that's how he talks. And as a result of being Cajun, Ed Orgeron, always the bridesmaid. He never gets the head coaching job. He would be a perfect fit at LSU. I honestly think that place would make sense for him to be.
Go Tigers. We're going to go out and play some football for the LSU Tigers.
That's a perfect fit for Ed Orgeron. Got to keep that guy. He can't be the bridesmaid every time. I know back at Southern Cal, they weren't going to give him the job. A little too glitzy of a job for a guy that talks Cajun. But I'm telling you, down at LSU, always a bridesmaid. Poor Ed. Never gets the job that he probably deserves. And I'm going to give you one more award. One more award that I'm going to hand out for the midway point of the college football season. And that is the teenage girl getting ready for prom, and she can't quite make up her mind on what to wear and who to go with. And I'm going to hand that one to the Big 12 Conference.
We're thinking maybe we'd like to expand. I don't know. No. We don't want to expand. Okay, yeah, we'd like to expand. You know what? If you're a school that's interested in maybe in joining us, if you could just write on a paper, if you like us or not. No, we don't want to go with you. No, Houston, we don't like you. Colorado State, no, definitely not Colorado State. But if there's anyone out there, I don't know, would any of some, like maybe a big school, like a really attractive school, like to ask us to prom? No, okay. Then we don't really want to expand. We'll stay with just the Big 12 as it is. Big 12 Conference is an absolute farce.
And I'll tell you what the conference is worried about. Here's where this really is at. The contract that they currently have is going to expire. And granted, it's going to be in a few years. But the contract that the Big 12 has right now is going to expire. And when you look at that conference, I want you to take Texas and Oklahoma out. Let's just say Texas and Oklahoma decide, maybe we'll go somewhere else. Maybe we'll go over here. Maybe we'll go to the Pac-12. Maybe we'll go to the SEC. Maybe we'll go to the Big Ten. Maybe we'll go anywhere else because there's nothing else in the Big 12. Do you see how big of a problem that could be? If Texas or Oklahoma left, you would be down to nothing. And so the Big 12 starts to think about maybe we should expand. Maybe we should talk to BYU. Maybe we should talk to Colorado State. Now, why they ever talk to Colorado State, I don't have any idea. Colorado State is barely a Mountain West team. I don't know what in the world they do in the Big 12. They talk to Houston. Well, Houston's cute this year, but let's be honest. It's not like Houston has this tradition of greatness. So I think the Big 12 is looking around like, okay, do any of the big dogs really want to come join us? No? Okay, never mind then. But they've gone back and forth on this like every other week. One week they want you to join. Next week, we're considering all offers. And then the next week, no, I don't think we're going to go to prom this year. oh, maybe we will if someone really attractive asked us. No, you're not attractive enough. I don't think we're going to go. Stupid Big 12. Get out of here, Big 12. Okay, let's switch over to Major League Baseball. Because, I'll be honest, I'm a little bit excited. My wish has a chance to come true. I told you a few months back that my goal for Major League Baseball was that the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. Not just for the fact that one of those teams is going to put to end that history where they've lost so many times, come up short so many times, not just for that, but also, you know, for the other side of it, that there is going to be one fan base that is going to be completely destroyed when they lose yet again after getting so close. And, I mean, let's be honest, it's all about me. My wish has a chance to come true. The Cleveland Indians are now up 3-0 on the Toronto Blue Jays in the American League Championship Series. You know, the Blue Jays are complaining about the strike zone. Aren't the Blue Jays always complaining about the strike zone? I mean, it seems like every single time there's an issue, the Blue Jays are like, well, the strike zone, they're just really screwing us here on the strike zone. They're not. The Indians have pretty good pitching. And do not underestimate the job that Terry Francona has done. All Terry Francona does everywhere he goes is win. Pretty amazing job Terry Francona has done. Spoke to this just a little bit earlier. Chicago Cubs and Los Angeles Dodgers getting ready to start off right now. That series is tied at 1-1. Hey, the Los Angeles Dodgers got an amazing performance from Clayton Kershaw in game 2. I have to say, I'm happy for Clayton Kershaw. I don't know. I don't really care. Like I told you, I want to see the Cubs and Indians in the series. But I'm happy for Clayton Kershaw. Seems like a good guy. And he's always... Remember last year we were calling him Peyton Kershaw? Because it seemed like in the postseason, struggled just a little bit. Got a big, big game out of him in game 2. I still think the Cubs, they're the favorite. They've got so much. They've got great pitching, great hitting, great bullpen. They can do it all. I still think this is the Cubs series. But it's 1-1. If Los Angeles wins this tonight, I've got news for you. It's going to have a completely different feeling really, really quick. Because then you are going to start getting that feeling of, oh no, here we go again. We're going to end up finding a way to lose this thing again, just like we always have. If the Dodgers win this tonight, I don't think it's over, but we will start seeing, especially the fan base. I don't know about the Cubs players themselves. Seems like there's a pretty loose group. Seems like the way that Madden manages them, he keeps them pretty loose, doesn't let all the, you know, the past weigh on them too much. But I can tell you this, if the Dodgers win that game tonight, you are going to see Cubs fans just pacing around nervously all the time for the next few days. If you have that Cubs fan in your office, he's not going to be able to sit still. He's going to be chewing all his nails off, going outside to smoke every few minutes. Cubs fans are going to be gripping if they don't get the win tonight against Los Angeles Dodgers. All right, let's switch over to the NFL. Got a few stories in the NFL that I would like to touch on. One of the big stories, the Indianapolis Colts completely and entirely collapsing on Sunday night. Colts were up, and you probably turned the game off, as well you should have. The only reason I didn't turn the game off, I was writing some stuff. I had it on, and honestly, I wasn't even paying attention to it. It was 23-9 with about 3 minutes left. Colts are up, 23-9. And Brock Osweiler, who had been absolutely atrocious, who, to be completely honest, it was a lot his fault. The Houston Texans were down 23-9. Osweiler gets hot, starts hitting some receivers. The Colts, of course, are so banged up. They're running out of players. And somehow, the Houston Texans come back and get the win. Like, I'm clicking refresh on some of the sports feeds that I get, just waiting for Colts head coach Chuck Pagano to get fired. Like, he literally might get fired any second. Let me check. Nope, nothing yet. Nothing yet. I just have the feeling it is coming, though. Andrew Luck doesn't have any help. I'll be the first to admit. He's got T.Y. Hilton and not much else. Doesn't have much on his defensive side either. He's handing off to Frank Gore, who's like 47 years old. Andrew Luck doesn't have any help. But, let me just throw this out there. Andrew Luck isn't making all the plays that he should either. I mean, there is a play right at the end of regulation where if Andrew Luck just steps into his throw and throws it out to T.Y. Hilton, most likely you're already in field goal range. The Colts are going to go down, kick the field goal, and end the game. Nope. Didn't do that. Shorted it, skipped the ball to T.Y. Hilton, and now we're going to overtime, and now you're not doing anything, and now the Brock Osweiler-led Houston Texans are beating you after you were up 2 touchdowns with 3 minutes left. Colts? I don't have much faith in the Colts right now. Not a lot of help around Andrew Luck, and after a while, not having that help starts to wear on you as a quarterback. I think Andrew Luck can play. We saw in his first few seasons, what, he could throw for 4,000 yards? He didn't just get horrible all of a sudden, but he doesn't have any help. And that does start to wear on you, and that does start to beat you down. Here's a question for you. Just going to throw this out there. Just a thought. Is there any chance that Dallas Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett listens to the Daily Dose? I don't know. Maybe. I think there's a chance. Because here's the thing. The Dallas Cowboys went up to Green Bay, dominated the Green Bay Packers. They ran the ball 33 times. What? That is not Dallas Cowboy football. That is not Dallas Cowboy football, especially under Jason Garrett. They don't run the ball 33 times. They throw the ball 57 times, and maybe they'll slip in a run maybe 8, 9, 10 times. 33 runs. This season, the Dallas Cowboys have 202 rushing attempts. Just 182 passes. We've only been saying that for the last like 5 years. I'm just saying. Jason Garrett might be listening to the Daily Dose. Jason Garrett, if you do listen to the Daily Dose, here's some advice to you, and just you listen. Everyone else, don't listen. Jason Garrett, here's what I want you to do this next week. Make sure you hand the ball off a lot to Ezekiel Elliott. Okay. Now let's watch. Let's watch and see if he does it. Because I think he listens. He might not say anything. We'll see if we can get him on the show. He might not be saying anything. But, you know, after hearing our interview with Hillary Clinton, hearing our interview with Donald Trump, and now we kind of call him out. I don't know. See if we can get Jason Garrett on the show. Have to at least give it a try. Cam Newton. Did you see Cam Newton? Carolina Panthers got beat by the New Orleans Saints, and Carolina is in some serious trouble. And then Cam Newton wouldn't talk in his postgame. Lots of next question. Just repeating the same answer. Next question. Wouldn't answer. Very, very similar to Super Bowl 50. Remember that whole thing? Had the hood up. Been out of shape. Did not like. Okay, here's the thing. And I said this at that time as well. I'm okay with Cam Newton being mad. What I'm not okay with is his performance for about 3 quarters of that game when you had only scored 17 points against that awful Saints defense. And on the other side of it, if I'm Cam Newton, I wouldn't be okay with my defense because the Carolina defense is absolutely terrible. Those rookie corners are getting torched. And I know it's Drew Brees. I know New Orleans can put up some points. Carolina is not looking good. I still think they can maybe get back into contention once they start playing a little bit easier of a schedule. They've lost to some good teams. The problem, when you lose to those good teams, you can't have these stumbles like this against the Saints. Like, you have to win those games. Because we saw you lost against Minnesota, and you lost against Denver, and those are probably playoff teams. You can't have these trips where you lose to teams like the Saints, or you're going to knock yourself completely out of contention. Yeah, Cam Newton, yeah, maybe you shouldn't talk much. Because you might be kind of cashing out and saying, so who are we going to draft next year? Speaking of next year, the Pittsburgh Steelers are starting to get a little bit nervous. Ben Roethlisberger tore his meniscus in his knee. The 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the 1-4 Miami Dolphins. Now, Ben Roethlisberger is injured. I told you at the beginning of the year, we have a pretty good idea that Roethlisberger is going to get injured. Like, it happens every single year. It's not like a huge surprise. Oh, Big Ben got hurt? What? We've never seen that before. It happens every single year. It's just a matter of when. I told you that prior to the year even starting. But here's the thing. We'll see how long he's out for. Might not be that much time. But here's a stat that I just want to throw out there. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin is under 500 when facing teams on the road that have a winning percentage of less than 300. So for whatever reason, Mike Tomlin teams go on the road against bad teams and get beat. And we've already seen it twice. Now, we don't know how Philadelphia is going to end up on the year. We don't know how Miami is going to end up on the year. But let's be honest. We didn't expect either one of them to trounce Pittsburgh the way that they did. That's not just a coincidence. Mike Tomlin on the road against bad teams doesn't get his guys ready. For whatever reason, I know Mike Tomlin has won a lot of games, done a lot of good things. I kind of wonder how Pittsburgh fans feel about him sometimes. because he can do some things that are a little bit interesting. But the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road against bad teams under Tomlin, not a very good record. The Seattle Seahawks beat the Atlanta Falcons 26-24. I was watching this game at the end. It was very, very good game. The Atlanta Falcons are, I can't believe I'm going to say this, impressing me a little. Just the fact that they were even in this game. I expected them to go up to Seattle and just get blown out. Hey, we beat Denver in Denver. We're going to Seattle and we're just going to lay an egg. That's exactly what I expected from Atlanta. But the Falcons go up there, led for most of the game. Somehow, the Seahawks come back. Russell Wilson leads the comeback. They get a lead. And then the Falcons got kind of, yes, screwed by a pass interference call or by a no call on a play that should have been called for pass interference. And yes, it's a bad non-call. And don't give me the, hey, you can't call it at that point in the game. If you'd call it in the first quarter, then you have to call it there. If you didn't see, Matt Ryan throws the ball deep to Julio Jones. Julio Jones goes up to get it, and Seattle Seahawks defensive back Richard Sherman pulls his right arm down, so he has to try to catch it with one hand. It's clearly pass interference. It's going to be called 9 times out of 10. Referee missed it. Here's my only problem. It shouldn't have come to that. The series before, Matt Ryan threw a quick slant to Julio Jones, and it went right through his hands, and Seattle intercepted the pass, and that's how they took the lead. That's how they went and got the field goal. I know. Yes, the ref missed it. I'm also not going to hear too much complaining from Atlanta fans, though. Take care of your business when you get the chance. Don't let it come down to an official's call or an official's non-call in this case. If Jones holds on to that pass, they're probably going down and getting points on that drive and padding that lead just a little bit. Instead, not exactly how that went. Now, there are the Los Angeles Rams that we knew were coming. Yes, the Los Angeles Rams that I've been saying are probably going to finish right around 500. And then they went out and beat a few decent teams. Did you see the Rams beat the Seahawks? Wow, did you see the Rams beat the Cardinals? Yes, but we know that Jeff Fisher goes 8-8 every single year. How? When you beat some of the top teams, I mean, the Seahawks, we know they're going to be a contender. The Cardinals, we'll see, but they're probably going to be a contender in the NFC. But then the Rams go to Detroit. Detroit's okay. They're not a world beater. They're solid. And the Rams lose to Detroit 31-28. It's not a coincidence that Jeff Fisher goes 8-8 every single year because he has these kind of losses. I told you just a week or two ago, expect more of these kind of losses. Yes, you do get the, wow, I can't believe the Rams beat that team. And then the next few weeks, you'll get the, wow, I can't believe the Rams lost to that team. That's just how things go with the Los Angeles Rams and Jeff Fisher. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Oakland Raiders. Okay. The San Diego Chargers beat the Denver Broncos. Bottom line is this. The AFC West is wide open right now. It is wide open right now. And yes, even San Diego could possibly, maybe, inch their way into contention. Right now, standings are the Oakland Raiders and Denver Broncos at 4-2. Kansas City Chiefs at 3-2. San Diego Chargers at 2-4. That is not out of reach for any of those teams to win it. Any one of those teams could win the AFC West wide open. You know, it's funny because it was just a few years ago. AFC West was one of the worst divisions in the NFL. They're right there. I don't know if they're one of the best, but they're right there in the thick of it. AFC West wide open, and it should be a pretty fun division to keep an eye on as we head down into the meat of the season. The New York Giants beat the Baltimore Ravens 27-23. And I just have to say, Odell Beckham Jr. is a talent. I mean, a phenomenal talent. The speed he has, the hands that he has. I mean, on Sunday, against a Ravens defense that has proven to be pretty good, Odell Beckham Jr., 8 catches for 222 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Odell Beckham, for as talented as he is a really, really talented idiot. That kid needs like a mentor or something. Because it is all about him. Now look, I've told you before, I'm not opposed to end zone celebrations. I wish they would get rid of the penalties for at least halfway well thought out end zone celebrations. Like I understand, we want to get rid of some of the stupid ones. I don't want you running out to the star and doing all that stuff. That's nonsense. But if you want to do an end zone celebration, fine. I get it. In a clutch part of the game, Odell Beckham Jr. made a point after scoring his touchdown to pop his lid off and show everyone his wonderful face and then draw the 15-yard penalty while he went over and proposed to the kicking net. Just don't be an idiot. Because here's the problem. With that shortened kick, let's just say that the Baltimore Ravens go back and win. How do you look your teammates in the eye after that? Hey, I was just excited. I was just really excited about the touchdown I scored. I don't care. Don't cost me the game. You can be as excited as you want to. You can go over on the side and make out with the kicking net if you want to, but don't get a penalty for my team. I don't want the penalty. Just Odell Beckham Jr., talented guy, needs one of the veterans on that team to take him aside and say, look, this isn't all about you. There are other guys on this team besides just you. I know you want to go over and propose to the kicking net, and that's fine. Here's one thing that I'm going to throw out there. Because you might be sitting there, and you might be saying, hey, you can be mad at Odell Beckham Jr. if you want, but he's a young kid. He's a talented kid. There's no harm, no foul. Here's one thing I want you to notice. When he does score a touchdown, notice how few of his teammates come celebrate with him. That's always a big, like as a former coach, that's always something that I look for. How many guys are there celebrating with you? Because I'm just looking for body language. How many guys really like that he just scored the big touchdown? How many other guys are really happy that Odell Beckham Jr. just made the big play? He was down in the end zone on that first half touchdown. He was down there just waiting and waiting and waiting, and like nobody was coming. Finally, a couple linemen came down and gave him a pat on the head. Eli Manning's not going down there. The other receivers aren't going down there. Like maybe one of the backup scrubs off the bench that is, Odell, be my friend. ODB, be my friend. Bex, what do we call him? He's not ODB. We've discussed that. I mean, David Beckham is Bex. I don't know. I don't know what we call. Maybe you guys have a suggestion. I don't know what we call Odell Beckham Jr. Okay. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we talked earlier, mid-season college football report. Talked about some of the teams that are right there, at least having a chance to win it all. Alabama, big favorite going into the season. Clemson, big favorite going into the season. Michigan and Ohio State, maybe not the ultimate favorites, but always some of the top teams in consideration for a national championship. But who are some of the lowest teams that actually have snuck through and won the title? This year, like I said, looks like it probably will be the favorites in the finish again. It looks like it will probably be the favorites that will be right at the top at the end. But you know what? We have had teams sneak through and win championships when no one expected them to. I'm going to give you the top five lowest ranked college football teams to win the title. Number five on our list. Got to be the 2010 Auburn Tigers. You know, the Tigers were ranked number 22 going into the season. They had a junior college transfer at quarterback. And in week three, they actually had to rally to even beat unranked Clemson. But then the Tigers kind of got going. They beat number 15 Carolina. They beat number 12 Arkansas. They beat number 6 LSU, number 9 Alabama, and then they beat South Carolina again. And Cam Newton and company got to play Oregon in the national championship. We know what happened there. Started clear back at the beginning of the season, number 22. Nobody was talking about Auburn. A lot of other teams that were there. The Auburn Tigers sneak through and win the national championship. Number four on our list. Yeah, I struggle with this one a little bit, I'll be honest. Because I'm not sure that this team should have won a national championship, but I understand it. I understand it. Number four on our list was actually unranked going into the season. 1990, Georgia Tech. They beat South Carolina in week three to break into the top 25. You might remember quarterback Sean Jones with Georgia Tech. They had a defense led by linebacker Ken Swilling. You know, but Tech was probably a little bit overrated. And the reason they were overrated is because they ended up beating number one Virginia. Remember Virginia? They had Sean Moore and Herman Moore, that team. And as a result, everyone just pushed them clear up to the top. Well, those were the only two teams that they really beat. I mean, they beat South Carolina. South Carolina wasn't ranked. And then they beat number one Virginia. But we saw that Virginia wasn't really that good. But as a result, Georgia Tech got pushed up into the top of the rankings, and in the Citrus Bowl, they would beat Nebraska and end up splitting the national championship with Colorado. Hey, Georgia Tech, a team that was completely unranked, got a big win, beat the number one team. All of a sudden, we're talking about Georgia Tech might be a national championship winner, and they won it. Number three on our list, another unranked team, the 1984 BYU Cougars. Yes, another team. I struggle a little bit with them winning the whole thing. But in 1984, the BYU Cougars beat number 3 Pitt. Remember, they had big running back Craig Ironhead Hayward. And BYU beat Pitt 20-14. Now, BYU was unranked. But the voters got all excited and moved BYU clear up to number 13. From not even ranked to number 13. I mean, they had an explosive offense. Robbie Bosco threw for nearly 4,000 yards. Vaisa Kahima, always a threat, could do it out of the backfield, could catch the ball. He could hurt you so many different ways. And sure, BYU didn't really beat anyone else. They beat the Utah States and the Wyomings and the Texas El Pasos. But they had moved up so much during the season, and other teams kept losing. And so when BYU beat Michigan in the Holiday Bowl, they were awarded the national championship. 1984 BYU, unranked to number 1. Number 2 on our list, got to be the 1983 Miami Hurricanes, another team that was unranked. Howard Schnellenberger was coaching down at Miami, and they had gone 7-4 in 1982. And then in the opening week, in week 1, the Florida Gators whooped Miami 28-3. But that team was talented. You remember, they had Bernie Kosar, Alonzo Highsmith, Eddie Brown, Daryl Oliver. They went on a tear. They started blowing teams out. They blew out Houston. They blew out Notre Dame. They blew out West Virginia. And then they finally blew out Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. And the Miami Hurricanes finished number 1. Unranked to number 1. It has happened before. So who could be number 1 on our list? That's a team that's actually kind of lurking at the top this year. 1981, the Clemson Tigers, also unranked. They had gone 6-5 in 1980 under head coach Danny Ford. No one expected anything different in 81. This is Clemson. Remember quarterback Homer Jordan passed and ran for over 2,000 yards? And the Tigers beat number 4 Georgia, number 8 North Carolina. And then if you notice this one trend, just got to throw this out there. They also beat number 4 Nebraska again in the Orange Bowl, and Clemson went undefeated. Did you notice that a lot of these teams beat Nebraska? Now, here's the common thread in this. We talked a few weeks ago about how Nebraska has been consistently overrated. Did you notice how many of these teams beat Nebraska and then got... Sometimes if you're overrated and all the voters think you're better than you are, yeah, they beat Nebraska, so they must be number 1. Oh, yeah, except for that we know Nebraska has consistently been overrated quite a bit. But either way, 1981, the Clemson Tigers finished the season undefeated, and they go from unranked, not even thought about, to winning the national championship. Now, here's the question that I have. Could anyone slip through this season? Remember, the Washington Huskies started the season number 14. Maybe. They've got a chance. Texas A&M was unranked. Baylor was 24. West Virginia was unranked. Boise State, Western Michigan. Oh, I know. They don't have a chance, right? Hey, don't laugh. It could happen. We've seen it happen before. Hey, next week on the show, do you realize, and wait, don't start the music just yet. Do you realize that next week is going to be our 100th episode of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast? Might have to read a few emails. Might have a guest stop by. Might have to, just do things a little bit differently next week. In fact, I'm going to throw this out to you. If you listen to the show, if you enjoy the show, you want to send an email, want to send a text, want to send a tweet, whatever you've got, if you want to send me anything, I'll read whatever you have next week on the show. I would love to hear from you. Yes, you. If you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, you might be talking about someone else. No, you. And if you want, I'll figure out a way to play you. If you'd like to speak on the podcast, I'll figure out a way to play what it is that you have to say on the show. But I would love to hear from you. Next week, the Daily Dose 100th episode will be coming. Plus, we will have Major League Baseball, college football, the NFL, and of course, the Daily Dose Top 5, and you never know which way that is going to go. If you have something you would like to contribute, like I said, an email, text, tweet, whatever, I would love to hear from you. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to wherever it is that you download the podcast and give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. Don't forget, send anything that you would like said next week on the 100th episode. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, and you can also hit us on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.